nice sound. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life as we near a week that focuses on love and affection and things like that. Let me tell you, my friends, it has been one hell of a fun drive. I want to thank you for all of you who have donated money to this station during the past month in our honor and our name. We did a bang-up job with the help of many of our friends. We raised more money than God. He doesn't raise much money. He's not very good at fundraising. Or fundraising, actually, I think, as we come to think of it. Today we want to talk a little bit, we're going to lead into discussions about love and affection because it's just a natural thing on people's minds. But today I want to talk about an interesting part of this, and we're going to be taking your calls today because we haven't taken your calls in a month. A month of no telephone calls. I wonder what's happened to you all. Oh, I've received your emails. Thank you very much. A lot of your letters have come in. Today, I would love to explore with you the fact that the chemistry of one person is not necessarily removable from the chemistry of two. When you have water, H2O, you know, you could say, well, you know, all we've got to do is separate the oxygen from the hydrogen, and we could do that. We could take out a little hydrogen, and there you have oxygen left over, just walking around. There goes an O2 molecule walking down the street, but it's no longer water. It's just a gas. You know, and if you take away the oxygen and you don't have the hydrogen, it's just a gas. But when you put the two of them together, they're water. H2O, that's a nice thing, don't you think? Well, I think couples are like that. I think love is like that. I think relationships are like that. I think we are different things in chemical combination than we are when we're alone. Listen to this hypotenuse. Listen to this hypothesis. What do you think of this idea? Do you think that it's a combination? They say, for example, if your husband is out of whack, if your husband's depressed, there's no reason you should be depressed. Right? Why should you be depressed if your husband's depressed? You should be able to live your life independently and just go about your business. Well, let's say your wife is on steroids, right? And she's acting a certain crazy kind of way. You should be able to conduct yourself just perfectly well without their illness manifesting or affecting you in some way. They tell you that if you have a sick mate, let's say you have somebody who's got cancer, you should be able to keep your spirit up. And they teach you this. They have groups about this. They have groups where they teach you how to keep your spirit going. In fact, is it possible, here's the question, to be impervious to your partner's mood or well-being? What if your partner, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, so on and so forth, let's say the close partner, somebody you sleep with, what if they are sick? Can you be happy? Can you be well? What if they're not feeling well? Can you feel well? Did you ever get the feeling if your man is not well or acting crazy that you just can't get your act together, you can't find balance? Huh, what does it mean? Does it mean you're crazy to not be able to find your own balance regardless of how your mate feels? Now, this is not just restricted to husband-wife. This could be husband, this could be father-daughter, mother-son. It could be you with your dog. What if your cat is sick, right? And your cat's very sick and walks around the house very sick. How do you keep up your spirit if you love your cat and your cat is sick? And Yo-Yo, by the way, is much better for those of you who have sent me emails. But if your cat is sick, and you, or your dog is sick, or your, you know, if you have a pet horse or something and it's sick, and it's just around you all the time, can you keep your spirit up? Well, of course you can, but doesn't a part of your soul get drawn out to the other person? Well, here's a theory. A theory is that there is a chemistry that takes place between two people, and that when people are united, right, that when they're united, when one person does flounder, fall down, or get sick, the other person does feel it also, and you just can't avoid it. And in fact, being able to not feel it may be a bigger sign of pathology than being able to feel it. Let's think about that. Maybe you could remove yourself and say, I don't feel anything. I remember a man I knew, a very wealthy man. He had a wife who was in a wheelchair. She was crippled. She had some neurological disease. It was very serious. He went out all the time partying. And he was partying all the time. And he would just, you know, come home. And she was sick. And she was miserable. And she was at home. And he'd go out and he'd party. And he had a very positive spirit. But he was nuts. I mean, he was just, you know, off the top of the charts, always being somebody who was ignoring everything that felt bad. He was avoiding pain right and left. So as a pain avoider, you could easily not attend to somebody who feels bad. But maybe it's just not right. Maybe if somebody you love doesn't feel right, you just don't feel right. Maybe it's hard to get your balance. Maybe if you have a son who is getting crazy and acting wild, it just knocks your socks off. And you can't get your balance back. And even though you'd like to, you just can't. Because you have blood connection, because you have connection, because you care. It's a question I have. See, there's a group of people called Al-Anon. Al-Anon is a very important group. Al-Anon is the group for people who were the relatives of people or related to people who are alcoholics or drug addicts. Okay, and here's what they say. If you have somebody who's an alcoholic or a drug addict, you come join our group and we will together strategize so that you could find your own independent strength and you don't have to become what they call codependent. Codependent means you feed their illness, you're a part of their illness, and that you in some way exacerbate it by being a part of it, by either taking care of them or something like that. And they teach you to be separate from your mate and your mate's addiction or illness. That makes a lot of sense, don't you think? This is Armand DeMille with you, by the way, The Positive Mind. In case you just tuned in, it's Tuesday at 1 p.m. So Al-Anon teaches you, there's a way to do it. All group stuff teaches you there's a way to do it. But here's an interesting trick about groups. If you have a group, and let's say you have survivors of leukemia group, and you have a bunch of people who have mates who have leukemia, and they get together in a group, and they will feel better. But you know why they'll feel better? Because they will form a chemistry with other people in the group that will compensate for the chemistry of that they're losing with their mates. So you're substituting chemistry with chemistry. Al-Anon does that. Al-Anon gives you a team of people. It gives you a family to substitute for the isolation you feel if you separate yourself from a partner who's not well. Now, all of you out there, you look at your partners and you say to yourself, wacky, wacky, bent, broken. I mean, you must, you know, if you love somebody, you must look over at them every now and then and just feel bad for them, don't you? If you love them long enough, you look over and you go, oh, what a hard time. What a tough time he's going through, you know, with his ears, with his teeth, with his hip, with his prostate, with his, you know. What is he struggling all the time, or she's always struggling, and you feel bad for them. And you know they don't feel well, and you try to feel well, so you go to the gym and you take care of yourself and you exercise and you keep your spirits up. But is it possible? Is it possible? And it's a Valentine question. It's a question, you know. If there is love, is it possible to separate yourself from somebody enough so that you could keep your spirits positive while your mate is in a negative place. Well, of course, we therapists, and I have many therapists working with me, we all say, yes, it is possible. And the way we make it possible is we give you a different kind of association. We now give you an association with us. We say, okay, come talk to us. If you're missing the love from your mate because your mate is sick, come talk to us. And we give you a nice, safe, separate kind of loving. We accept you. We talk to you. And it compensates. It helps make up for it somewhat. But it's not easy. So here's a thing. I want to take your phone calls on this today. You have known what it's like. You've lived with this. You've lived with people who have been sick, who have been bent, who have been in tough shape, who have been on tirades, who have been angry. You've tried everything possible where they, you know that it's not your fault that they are the way they are. And yet, you still can't pull your act together because you just feel terrible. And I'm saying, consciously or unconsciously, no matter what you do, it may be more difficult than you think. That just sometimes when your mate is sick, you're sick automatically. 212-209-2900. That's the question we have. It's 212-209-2900. You could answer this question in one of two ways. We'd like you to call in because today is a day that I want to receive your phone calls. I haven't spoken to any of you in so long. Today will be a big receiving phone call day. And then tomorrow, well, tomorrow won't be a big receiving phone call day, but today we will take your calls. And it's been a long time. And if Michael, I should have warned you, but 212-209-2900. We want to be taking your calls and just talk to you about your love and your relationships and what you've gone through and how you've kind of held yourself up as good as possible. And if you don't do it this way, you can send us an email, Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com, thepositivemind.com. You could send me an email, and you could address it that way as well. So 212-209-2900, I'll be taking your calls today. We're talking about the chemistry of love. We're talking about the combination of people with people. Is it possible to feel good even when your partner feels bad? Is it possible? And many of you are going to say, of course I do. I go meditate. Well, that may be one way to do it. You may have to separate yourself and remove yourself. That may be an answer. But I'd like to hear what you do. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Is it me?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Armand. I hope I'm not off the subject, but I guess I'm experiencing a situation where maybe I have a supervisor who possibly has a toxic attitude, and I guess I find myself, I don't know, with, mental difficulties that I hadn't really experienced before, and I was kind of thinking about medication, and I was just wondering if there's, an alternative to, getting through life without medication, if you have diagnosed.
Your supervisor has a toxic attitude, so what are you trying to
do?
You're trying to get medication and slip it in your supervisor's drink when she's not looking?
No. I'm trying to cope. This person is being very difficult.
Tell me, in what way is this person difficult? Is it a man or a woman?
It's a woman.
Okay, and how is she being difficult?
Just very, I don't know. You never hear too much about what I do well, but you always hear about the bad. No matter what difficulties, I've had some personal difficulties, and the person wants to be your first, priority. Just very demanding, just what I'm not really used to.
Okay, so she's egocentric, she lives in her own world, she
and
wants
very
you to
power hungry, you know, wishing to always affirm, you know, this sense of power and
but
all of that.
Which is a thing that bosses are allowed to do, you know what I mean? I mean, this is what the supervisory position gives you as kind of a privilege. Now, unless you do it in a way that's abusive,
Okay.
I mean, she is your boss. So now I'm going to ask you to step one step down, and this is where you, now you were thinking about medication for yourself, right?
Yes, because I find myself in a very stressful, just
overreacting in many ways.
Oh, okay. You think so?
Yeah, well, okay. Let's ask the question. Is this person, find this person in your history? Because whenever you have this kind of a person...
She's the same sign as my mother.
Same sign as your mother. How
yes.
about the same attitude as your mother?
Yeah.
Tell me what your
they
mother
feel
was
that
like.
They went through the... They feel that they went up the rough side of the mountain and everybody else should struggle and they seem to enjoy struggle and sacrifice and... They want everybody else to have a rough time, too. They don't want to see someone, I guess, enjoying life or having a little, I guess, I don't know, any type of lax experience. They want
fully,
to just pile
fully
on
understand.
The cold.
What's your name?
My name is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, so now we find, we discover something. We discover that there is an echo in your voice, and there's an echo in the relationship that you have with the supervisor that reminds you of the way your mother was with you when you were younger.
Yes.
And now, therefore, what this is triggering in you is a lot of the anger, resentment that you felt as a kid for somebody treating you this way. So the reason that it has impact on you as opposed to other people is because it brings up a lot of that childhood frustration towards your mother.
Okay.
You see? Now, because you don't think about your mother, but you think about her as being the source.
I see them as the same people now.
Yeah, and they're not the same people. They're two
okay.
very different people. You just have unresolved issues with your mom. Now, I can give you an example.
What about this supervisor and just the whole power trip and all
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, but supervisors have power trips. They could affect certain people. If I was with the supervisor, she wouldn't affect me the same way. You see,
oh,
it's they
okay.
affect you in your weak spot, and you have a weak spot related to your mom. So we have one of two choices. Number one, we could get medication for you to calm down. We could get medication and we could give it to her to calm down. We could get medication and give it to your mother to calm down. Or we could somehow give you a short course of therapy where you talk through your feelings about your mother, uncover them, and release them once and forever.
See, I've done therapy, you know, before, and it hasn't really helped
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it
then
doesn't
I'll
seem
still
like it's gone.
This,
yeah.
I mean, but then I'll still have this problem working with this person who seems to have, I guess, no mercy. I mean, no matter what happens in my life, it's abnormal in a sense. And what's the interesting part about it is that the person over her head has done, I guess, some power trip things that she is going through, and I feel that, I don't know, I'm somehow affected.
So, Elizabeth, you know, one of the interesting things that they do for us in nature is they have us keep choosing the people who are going to help us grow. And
okay.
you have successfully chosen a position with a supervisor where you will learn to grow. Do not take medication to deal with this person. Learn to recognize that she is touching buttons that are related to your childhood. Learn to identify this and do not hold this person responsible. This poor lady who is your supervisor is so bent out of shape. One thing is for sure, you wouldn't want to live with her. You know
wow.
what I mean? She must be hell to live with. So she is not the one that we have to deal with. We have to deal with your reaction to her. And your reaction comes from the past. And, of course, when you're around her energies, it feels toxic because it's bringing up the past to you. And that's the way
okay.
it feels. But you're dealing with the past. But don't get meds for it. Deal with it. You're going to get through it. And once you get through it, you're going to be a master of the universe. Then you'll become a supervisor. And then you'll look down on some people and you'll be nice to them.
Thanks, Amon.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. Yes, it does happen at work, in work situations. You know, you talk about energy exchanges. I mean, if you think about the fact that if you had six women working in an office together, they somehow synchronize their menstrual cycles, one wonders what else goes on during that period of time. I mean, how does that happen chemically? What happens with the underlying chemistry that the serotonin and all the releases of all the different chemicals happens so that they synchronize their menstrual cycle? What happens? What's going on there? it's kind of magic. And then that happens in a room. You know, so what happens in an organization where there are 50 people working, 30 women, 20 men, but 30 women synchronize their menstrual cycles, so they're all having their periods at the same time, and 20 men are not knowing that they are somehow having a reaction to that at the same time. And it looks like it's just, you know, it must be raining outside today because things seem funny. But chemistry. Chemistry happens between people on an unconscious level, and especially when it's somebody you love. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hello.
Armand, I lost my mother, and I didn't see her for 13 years. And I spoke to her on the phone, but like yesterday I spoke to her, and she said that she'd been in hospital, and because of that I decided I'm going to be with her for the rest of her life, and because I lost my father like 22 years ago, and only thing that I'm in my mind, I want to be with her, because like 3 years ago I lost my grandmother. So this is the only feeling that I have. I don't want any to be in any other places, but no matter how, maybe there is no much luxury there, but that's how I feel.
What's your name?
Mohammed.
Mohammed, so you want to spend the rest of your life with your mother?
Yes.
And how do you think, because your mother is sick?
Oh, yes, she's sick. And when I spoke to her, she said, listen, son, I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling bad just from now and then, and I just want to see you for the last time before I... Hmm.
Oh, that must make you so sad, Mohammed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When will you see her?
I didn't see her for like 13 years.
Yeah, so when are you going to see her next?
Next time, maybe I'm going to see her like a month and a half from now, because she lives in Morocco and I live here.
And are you going to live there in Morocco with her?
Yes, I'm going to live for good over there.
Because that feels right to you.
Oh, yeah, this is like, I cannot imagine myself living without seeing her even once for one more last time.
I understand. I understand. Do you have family, Mohammed?
Oh, I have one brother here.
And no other family, no wife or anything like that?
No, no.
Well, it sounds to me that there's part of your heart is so committed to this that you're not going to be able to do anything else until you get past this, you know? Mm-hmm. So my blessings go with you to Morocco, you know? My blessings go with you to Morocco, to you and to your mom. And thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much, Mama.
Sure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand, how are you?
Good, who is this?
Gloria.
Hello, Gloria.
Maybe I missed the topic. I'm calling to talk about a good relationship.
I like those.
I guess the good relationship that I have now is with somebody we met like 5 years ago, and we never hit it off, and we kept trying over the years to make it work, and we finally did after all this time, because we learned each other better, I guess.
Well, what did you have to learn? What did you have to learn in order to hit it off with each other?
That we both needed our own personal space.
You needed to be more separate.
Yes.
Well, this is very important, you know. It's what most people don't understand about relationships, that relationships are not about closeness. They're about the proper separations.
Right.
You've got to have some kind of distance between two people for there to be an intrigue, a mystery,
right,
to make it exciting, to make it beautiful.
Because now he works nights,
mm-hmm,
Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, and I work days, Monday through Friday. So we get to see each other Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then the rest of the week, he has his space during the daytime and I have my space at night. And we then look forward to Thursday when Thursday comes, opposed to every day just being a struggle. And I
isn't
never
it
learned.
Wonderful that you've created a magical Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people think of Thursday as kind of a nothing day. But here, you've created Thursday, and forever when I think about Thursday, as your love day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's a wonderful thing, having a Thursday love day.
A Thursday, right, opposed to...
Like having a Monday morning love day.
Mm-hmm. And it just gives us our own space, and so I guess that's what I had to learn, is that everybody needs their personal space, and with space can also come... You can get really close to somebody if they're
now,
given their space.
What about when he gets bent out of shape or you get bent out of shape? When you feel like something's really wrong with each other, what do you feel? What happens?
Well, we talk a lot. So because we don't see each other as much, we tend to talk more. And he's not really a person who likes to talk a lot. Our conversations can be sometimes 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I think every day before he goes to work, I call him up and I'm like, I wish you a good day. And then every night when he gets home, he'll call me up at like, sometimes it's midnight, 1 o'clock, and I'm usually sleeping, but I'll pick up the phone and he'll go, I just wanted you to know I was home. So we've just learned to deal with each other's shortcomings where, because we're not always together, we have a better relationship now than when we both worked days and we would spend so much time together, we'd get underneath each other's skin. And we could be in the house on the weekends, on like Friday or Saturday, and he could be in one room watching something and I can be in another room. It doesn't mean we're angry, but it just means that, you know, we've adjusted to that kind of life.
That's a nice thing. Can you tell me what he smells like?
A man.
So what's that? What does that mean? I mean, you know, a lot of men smell
different.
He
doesn't really like Irish spring soap.
He smells like Irish spring soap.
Yeah.
Yeah, he smells fresh.
Fresh.
Masculine.
Clean. Yes. And I mean, like, one night...
Now, wait a minute. Can you smell him right now?
Yeah. I can see his face.
Stop a minute. Take a whiff.
Yeah, I can.
Isn't that magic?
It is.
Do you know that for anybody out there who wants to know if they're in love, here's your test. Can you smell him?
Mm, yeah, I can.
If you can't smell him, go see a therapist.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So nice to talk to you again. I'll be perusing your emails while we take a very short break here, and then I'll make you a fabulous announcement. Fabulous. So we're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes, and when we do, we'll take more of your calls. My friends, we'll be back with you in just a few. That is Sonny Rollins you're listening to, my friends. And he's singing You Don't Know What Love Is. He's not singing, he's playing it. But Sonny Rollins is probably one of the greatest living legends of jazz. And get ready, Michael, next Tuesday. Tuesday, a week from today. Sonny Rollins will be on air with us here at WBAI. Yes, Sonny Rollins, for those of you who don't know Sonny Rollins, I mean, it's like having the living legend himself. He's in his 80s. He's one of the greatest jazz tenor saxophonists that ever lived, arguably the greatest. He's just phenomenal. Fantastic. When I was a kid, I used to listen to Sonny Rollins play. I never got close to him. I did to many musicians. I never did to Sonny Rollins. So here it is, Sonny Rollins finally and Armand DeMille together in WBAI. I feel like it's my perfect circle form. You know, we've got it going here. And an amazing thing. Amazing thing. WBAI, that's next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Be sure to tune into that. Right now we're going back to our regular program, which is today we're talking about the combination of people and what happens to people when other people get bent out of shape. Now you see, here's a question. In order to understand this, you have to understand not about them, but you have to understand about you. One of the problems that we have is when people get upset, they tend to aim their upset at you if you're part of a couple. So let's say you have a son who's not feeling good. Your son who's not feeling good will look at you and he'll say, it's your fault, mommy, mommy, don't do this, don't turn that on, get me this, get me that. And now you're responding to your son. Or if you have a husband who's mad at you, he starts yelling at you or criticizing you. Why didn't you clean this up? What's this doing over here? And they start becoming critical of you. And once they take their feeling distraught in your direction, your natural response is to defend yourself. So once you defend yourself, you're no longer able to see that they are upset. Because you're defending yourself, you see, now you're fighting back. So here's the problem. The problem is you don't want to be fighting back because you want to be able to observe and see what's happening. Sometimes they'll pick an issue like it's a silly issue, and they'll just have some issue they're going to discuss over nothing. It's like we're going to have a fight over, you know, what color toilet paper we get or something like that, you know, or the toothbrush, who left the cap off the toothpaste. And you have to realize that many of these fights that take place between people only take place because one person aimed their distress at the other person and the other person defended themselves. If you could step back from the defense, then you could see that your partner's in trouble. If you could step back and see that your partner's in trouble, you don't react. But of course, if you have your own stressors, then you do. Then you both get lost in the craziness of like an accusatory battle between the two of you, where you get so much distance, you forget how much you love each other. You just lose it. Is it possible if your partner is feeling distraught for you to be able to maintain your integrity and your love? Yes, it is. But you need a certain distance. You need a certain separation in order to be able to do that. You need to look at them and to say to yourself, they're wounded. They're hurt. 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls today. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand, how are you?
Good.
Okay, I'll try to make this short for your purposes. Essentially, my son, wife passed away about a year or so ago. My son, from that time, had developed an illness, at which point he's now essentially addicted to pain medications.
Which ones?
OxyContin. Not to go through all the different details, essentially the coping with it and where I'm getting at and how I'm getting there is quite difficult. I'm in Naranon groups. I'm trying to do some meditation, do some yoga. I'm trying to get my head separated from the reality. I don't know if it's such a crazy situation on the relationship. Where do I draw the line on trying to make believe it's a normal thing and all without supporting how crazy this is and also trying to detach from it in order to keep my sanity? It's hard to be a father and also be maybe do the right thing for him as far as his continuing, hopefully, you know, if any progress is to be made without contributing, you know, to him continuing to what he's doing. But it's hard for me to just treat him like he's my son, because he's really not my son in a lot of ways like he used to be. I kind of lost him. It's all suppressed, his personality, his who he is. I try to keep things a semblance of normalcy in our relationship, but at the same time I feel like it's going against what tells me is right, because I feel like I'm almost supporting this craziness, and that's just the dilemma I have. And trying to come up with ways of detaching and keeping that sanity is difficult. And I don't know if you may have any suggestions, but that's what
Now there it is. There's the dilemma exactly as I'm describing it. It is impossible. It is impossible. We have all kinds of answers for you. What's your name, by the way?
Gerard.
Gerard, we have answers. We'll tell you, get centered, keep yourself as clear as possible, make sure your heart is filled somehow. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about your own love life outside of your relationship with your son.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, my wife passed away about a year and a half ago or so.
And what's happened since?
As far as my love life, as she was ill and before, during her illness and right after that, he got severely ill. So everything I've had has gone into trying to take care of her and then right into him. And I've kind of, you know, haven't even had the wherewithal to just even go anywhere else with, you know, to even think about having a relationship, because the energy is going to him, at least getting to a point where his physical situation is better. But now that he's transgressed into this addiction, it's just encompassing my energies completely, to the fact that I don't think it would be fair for me to subject myself to even thinking about putting this onto another person. You know,
well, I could tell you, Gerard, it may not be, but there must be somebody you could get close to, because you have a heart that is crying to be held. You are crying to be held. I mean, this isn't your job. Your job is to not be the arms of the world. You know, you've done that long enough.
I know, but I just feel like I don't want to ditch him.
Doesn't mean ditch him. Here's what I think it means. See, to someone like your son, he looks at you and he sees what's happening to you. And very often someone like your son, you know, someone with an addiction like his, sees himself pulling you down. He sees him pulling you. He sees himself pulling you down with him. And if he could see that there is some joy in your heart from some place, that there's something that makes you feel good, that you are nurturing yourself in some other way, on some level, even though he might resent it because, you know, there's a mother substitute there, it actually helps him a great deal. You need to feed your heart, Gerard. You really do. You can't do this. You can't keep emptying your heart and emptying your heart and emptying your heart and giving it out and giving it out and giving it out, because eventually you're just giving from a vacuum.
Yeah,
and it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
You need goodies. You need to be hugged. You need to be held. You need to
I'm not
kissed.
Sure how to go about that, Armand.
I know. So now we talk about the process of going about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you've been through enough groups. You know, you've been enough group support, haven't you?
I've done some bereavement group, and now, obviously, now or not, I'm trying to, I'm getting something from that, you know, to just see what other people are going through.
And when you go through Al-Anon and things like that, don't you meet people?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you see people who you might be attracted to in some way?
Well, at this point, other than really appreciating what they've gone through and realizing that, you know, and really impressing me to no end. I mean, what some of these people have gone through, and knowing that I'm not like out in space, like I'm not the only person having these kind of feelings. That's pretty much where it's at. And right now, I appreciate that to that degree, other than, other than any other kind of relationship. Not at this point. I haven't come across that. I'm not close to it, I don't think. But I'm not really maybe that open to it or looking for it. Let's put it that way.
And what I'm saying is open the doors. You've got the doors closed.
Yeah.
You've got the doors absolutely closed. You're saying no room for love. There's only room for me putting out love. But if thing happens, you're like an engine. You know, you put out love, you put out love, you put out love, you put out love, and then the engine dies because there's no more love to put out because there's none coming in.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
I just
gotta
know how to do that.
You got to find a way to find some love coming in your heart. You really need it. You know, in one way or another, it needed to come towards you. And from what I hear, Gerard, it's in the form of affection. It's got to be affectionate. It's got to be physical. It's got to be somebody touching you.
Yeah, I can't.
It's been a long time since you. When was the last time you slept with somebody?
My wife was ill for so long, probably a year or so before she passed, and after that, nothing.
Oof.
So you're talking, at least 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
It's almost like out of sight, out of mind. It's almost like I'm not ready for it in a way. But I'm seems like my energies are in the mode of I got to get him in a better place, and I've kind of like lost the way of doing anything for myself, and. You know, I'm not really complaining about that. I mean, I'm not saying I did anything great. You know, I'm just saying that's where it's at, where I'm having trouble. It's almost like I've lost the ability to interact with that.
I hear.
You know, so I got to relearn. And that's where it's at. As far as suggestions, like I say, like for your...
Well, you don't need suggestions. You've got enough places. There are parents without partners, a dozen different places.
Yeah. Oh, no,
there are all kinds of places. Those you know, you just got to open your heart to it.
For other people, like your listeners, like meditation seems to have helped me, and yoga seems to have helped. For other listeners, I'm
fabulous place. Fabulous place to meet people, to be with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you need to be held. You know, right now, as I'm saying this to you, there's something like, 100,000 listeners who are jumping up saying, I'll hold him, I'll hold him. Get me his phone number, I'll hold him. There's a whole world putting their arms around you right now.
Yeah. Good to think that way.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Gerard.
Thank you, Ron.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Don't we have a beautiful group of people here at WBAI and nowhere else? You know, we don't get crank callers. We don't get that stuff. We just get good stuff. Good people. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
I know who you are. Armand.
Yes.
Good day. Even the crank callers you used to get, you handled them so well that they get polite after a while.
They weren't crank.
That's right. You're the only one who succeeded, I think, on these airways. Congratulations. I'm going to try and be brief because usually I call you once a year, once every 2 years.
Well, what's your name?
Gino.
Hello, Gino.
Hi.
You're
going to meet Sonny Rollins.
Yeah, with Sonny Rollins, absolutely.
And I'm going to meet you pretty soon.
Oh, great.
I've been desiring it for 18 years.
So when am I meeting you?
March 1st.
Well,
BAM.
We should be... What? At BAM. Oh, you're going to come down to the Brooklyn Academy of Music where we're doing that showing of Home, H-O-M-E, where tickets may still be available, by the way, if people call WBAI.
Maybe
BAM.
I'll...
That's great. Well, Gino, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I think your telepathic abilities picked up on it because the last time I think I called in, you said, there's a young man, I'd like to shake his hand, and I've been desiring to meet you for a while, so I think it'll finally happen.
Good.
I have a couple of things to say, though.
Sure.
Well, for Gerard, first of all, you just paint with words so well. I was thinking you'd make a great painter besides a musician. You paint very well with those words and empathetic paintings. But, Gerard, take that advice. If you ever go to the satsang, I'd give you a hug on 13th Street on Saturday for the satsang.
All right, with a satsang.
With a satsang. I talked to Maliki the other day. He wasn't familiar with what's happening March 1st, so he might come.
Maliki McCord.
Yeah, he was on the...
He's in the movie.
Yeah, I know. And Janet put him on the airways Sunday at 11 o'clock, so maybe he'll be coming along.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Told him I think there might be a few more tickets.
Yeah, we'll get them for him.
And Muhammad out there, when you go to Morocco, Brother Muhammad, keep the internet with you, and the airways are there, and, as the Indians would say, the air is spirit, so keep on the brotherhood of the spirit there and keep listening. And the last thing, Armand, Assisi, your good friend, Is it Pouchy? Pochy? What is that?
Pochy.
Yeah, what is
Dieter's
that?
Dieter's in Pochy, P-O-C-I.
P-O-C-I. How do you get connected with the internet to him? Or,
well, I don't know about the internet to him. You can look up Pochy. It's called Rada in Pochy, Rada in Chianti, and Pochy is the name of the place, and it's called Pochy, P-O-C-I. And I don't know if he's on the internet, but if you call my office, we will try to dig up a brochure for you. This is my friend Dieter Middleston Scheid, who has a center in somewhere in Tuscany, a beautiful place in Italy.
This is the fellow who he had lost his son, I believe.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you say he's one of the most intelligent, compassionate persons you've discovered in your life, wise guys.
Absolutely.
In a good sense.
Absolutely, Gino.
Because I'm looking.
You know an awful lot about me.
Well, I've been listening for 18 years.
Well, great.
You managed to be like you know, one of these guides through the forest of the emotions and the mind. I mean, it's like America needing a guide going to the forest. You do that for the emotions and the mind for me, and I think you're a godsend to the station.
Gino, make sure. You know, a lot of people come over to me during these functions, and they say, hi, I'm Tony. I'm the Gino. Make sure you stop me and say, I'm Gino, Gino.
Okay,
give
Gene
me Gino.
Y, not Gene X, I'm Gino.
Yeah, I'm Gino, Gino.
I'm looking forward to it, Armand.
Me too.
Maybe we'll get somebody else. I didn't mean to take up too much time.
Thanks for calling in. I'm glad to hear from you.
Control to seeing you.
Okay. 212-209-2900. I can't believe how beautiful these folks are. 212-209-2900. One more call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling so I could speak to the...
You are. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Live on air right now.
Well, I'll try to be very brief. My name is Deborah. I have a daughter who ran away when she was 12. And that was like good 5 or 6 years ago. But it was a nightmare. And I was one of those parents. I used to always go to her, whatever it is at school she had going on. And I was just from the time people started going to school, I would always take off, like, for field trips. And I was like, I became parent of the year a couple of times in our summer elementary school. So, she entered middle school. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, when she entered middle school, I don't know what happened, but it's like, it was only just me and her and the family. She had an older brother, and he's into his religion, and when they made him some ministerial servant, he cut off all ties with us, because I used to be in that religion, but when I was married years ago, when I was 18, like I got married, and I was married into that religion, and my husband and I stopped going to those, you know, to that religion, and they end up disfellowshipping us. But then I end up leaving him because he became abusive, and I, you know, end up starting trying to start a life of my own. But I end up meeting my daughter's father, but it didn't work out. I found myself pregnant, and I went ahead and, you know, had her and raised her, and I just loved the heck out of her. I mean, I was one of those mothers. I cherished her so much. She was like so much to me. I admit before she started going to middle school, I was trying to have a little social life on the side between working and picking her up from after school, you know, daycare and after school. I was trying to, you know, have a life. And, you know, I tried out different guys. It didn't work out. And, you know, I just kept the ball going. But she was always, I always try to make her my center. I have a lot of guilt because when they finally found her, she had gotten involved. They didn't find her for a good 3 weeks, and she had gotten involved with prostitution. And it's like when they called, the night they called me to tell me they found her, you know, even though they said that under the conditions, you know, they hated to tell me, I was just so glad they had found her. I kept praying all that time, and they found her, and it still hasn't hit me. So as a consequence of what happened to her that night, you know, before the police found her, to this day, she's 18, she still does that. She still will go or leave me. I mean, it's been so hard. It's been so hard. I had, during that interim, so from the time she was 12 to the time she's 18, in between the time she's here was with me, I would take her to school, try to start her, you know, take her to another school. And I found myself every day before I go.
Well, how often do you see her nowadays?
Now she's gotten to the point since she turned 17. She's living with some guy. She's living with some guy that I think she had ran away with. She ran away after 12 years old. When she came back, we had gotten involved with family court, and they said because she ran away like that, they didn't think it was a good idea for her to come back home to me. So they sent her away for a while to one of those juvenile places upstate. And when she came back when she was 13, it seemed like I got her into school. It seemed like everything was fine. The teachers love her. She's very smart. Everybody always told me. Her grade points, the grade point average for her reading was 12.3, and she was only 13. Because I was always with her, you know, always, you know, read to her and the whole nine yards, you know, museums, you just name it. We did so many different things together, went skating together anyway. So she always just started the habit of doing that, leaving and getting involved with that lifestyle. And I took her to some program we called Gyms. But the women loved her there. They said she was a leader. And she,
well, you know, we're running out of time.
I'm so sorry.
No, not to be sorry. I could hear. I mean, my heart goes out to you for all that you've gone through. It's brutal.
It's brutal. But you know
it's
what? I never had time to look at the brutality of it all. I had to keep the ball. I had to be there. I had to keep my head over, you know, above water.
Because your spirit stayed in it. And this is a good example of where your positive spirit working with it can somehow keep the ball rolling, keep it alive until the day comes when you two will get together, and I hope all is going to be well.
Thank you.
If there's ever any way you think I could help, please be free to contact me.
I would just like to interact with a group that's going through what I'm going through. I really would like to sit with other people.
Do you know
people.
Of any groups like that?
I really don't. It was for the girls like that.
But you know, maybe if you call my office, I'll try to locate something for you.
I would love that.
Okay, call my office at 212-757-4488 and ask the question. And tell them you just want me to find you the group and tell them what the group you want is. And I'll see what I can locate for you.
I thank you so much.
My pleasure. Listen, we're going to have to be going. I want to thank you all for calling in today. Nice to be with you. I'll be back to you tomorrow with Roberta Maria Atti. We're doing some new discoveries about love, about some of the chemistry of love, brand new stuff. So I'm going to leave you today with a tiny bit more of Sonny Rollins, because Sonny Rollins is coming our way. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. If you wanted to hear today's show, you could get it on the website, thepositivemind.com, or you could get it through WBAI.org. Either one of those two. Bye-bye for now, my friends.